WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The clock is ticking now on phase one of the Gaza peace plan. President Trump commented on his plan moving ahead.
And the amazing thing is all of the countries over there, from Qatar to Saudi Arabia to UAE to all of them, I mean, the rich ones, the less than rich ones, they've all come together, something which is amazing, actually.
The Israeli military has until early Saturday local time to pull back its forces, with Hamas hostages released within 72 hours after that. BBC's Hugo Bishega reports relief in Gaza is mixed with cautious optimism.
The exiled leader of Hamas, Khalil al-Haya, said he had received guarantees from the United States and mediators that the war was over. This is obviously only the first part of that deal, that the plan that was put forward by President Trump last week. We know that many obstacles remain in the negotiations for a deal to see the end of the war in Gaza, but again, some optimism there from some Hamas officials saying that the war is over.
The government shutdown is running right into a busy weekend for air travel. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says that may mean delays.
The FAA expects nearly 52,000 scheduled flights Friday, as millions of Americans will look to enjoy the first long holiday weekend this fall. But it comes with some uncertainty for travelers, because that spike in flyers comes as the FAA is grappling with an increase in sick calls since the government shutdown.
President Trump's effort to deploy National Guard troops in Chicago has hit a two-week delay.
A federal judge rules there is no credible evidence of an organized rebellion in Illinois, and for 2 weeks blocks deployment of National Guard troops. Attorney General Kwame Roll.
This is an important decision, not just for the state of Illinois, but for the entire country.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says the administration is not giving up.
We're purchasing more buildings in Chicago to operate out of.
Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
A federal prosecutor handpicked by President Trump has secured a grand jury indictment in Virginia against New York Attorney General Letitia James for mortgage fraud. CBS's Erica Brown has more.
Last year, Letitia James secured a civil judgment of hundreds of millions of dollars against then-former President Trump and his business for fraudulently inflating real estate assets. But an appeals court later tossed out the judgment.
The fraud verdict against Trump's company remains. Loyola University in Chicago says Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, the internationally known chaplain for their men's basketball team, has died at 106. She was lauded as a source of wisdom and grace for over 60 years. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Crew lose again to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the NLDS. There will be a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Brewers shut out by the Cubs, 6-0 at Wrigley Field. Freddy Peralta surrendered a three-run home run in the bottom of the first to Chicago's Ian Happ. Pat Murphy.
The first inning is always the toughest for a pitcher, especially in environments like this and big games. First inning can always be the struggle, and hadn't shown him the heater yet and got too much in the middle of the plate.
First pitch at 7:08 tomorrow night at AmFam Field. College football, the Badgers host the Hawkeyes tomorrow night in Madison, kickoff 6 p.m. Wisconsin lost 42-10 last year at Iowa.
The focus is obviously what happened last year and what it is that we need to do to change all that happened last year. It'll be a physical, tough, hard-nosed game. Nothing different than what you would expect from an Iowa-Wisconsin football game. We got to make sure that Saturday night we're ready to roll.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, another beautiful fall day with a high in the low to mid-60s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear, we'll drop into the upper 30s to near 40. Then tomorrow, more of the same, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Frequent guest and former Republican operative Carlton Huffman joins the show to talk about all the day's headlines. Join me.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The
You're
Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is the Christmas Eve of weekdays, and we are all here together to celebrate such a beautiful night where we talk about outstanding things in life that bring beauty to our worlds. Movies, TV, comedy, music, you name it. We got some... Well, sports talk is tomorrow, Conrad. I almost said sports, but we'll probably touch on the Cubs and Brewers a little bit.
It starts after the show.
It's all right. We can give our little predictions, I think.
Brewers.
Big surprise there. We're covering it all tonight, folks, and it's great to have you here wherever you're joining us from over this beautiful state of Wisconsin on this gorgeous fall night. Welcome to Nightlight. Fun show tonight. We've got, it's Thursday, so that means we're doing the popcorn pick of the week. If for some reason you've never heard of the Popcorn Pick of the Week or heard that segment, we give you a movie pick that you can check out by way of our guest. And tonight, the guest during our Popcorn Pick of the Week is Matt Miller. He will make a, and this is cool too, because Matt is a film critic from Milwaukee, and he will give us a movie that we can check out, possibly one we haven't seen or possibly one we want to revisit if we've already seen it. But I'm excited to have Matt do this. I've been trying to schedule him in so he could give us a pick, because he's always fun to talk movies about with anyway. He's also going to talk about some of the things you can see right now in the cinema, as I like to call it. We'll discuss a movie I saw recently. I'm anxious to get Matt's thoughts on One Battle After Another, which this film is like, I was reading Variety yesterday. They think One Battle After Another might draw 14 Oscar nominations. And that would tie a record with La La Land, All About Eve, and Titanic, maybe? That would tie a record. And they think maybe there will be 6 actors from the film nominated in the 4 acting categories. That's never happened before. So, very good film. Anxious to get Matt's thoughts on it. And he's seen some stuff I haven't, as always. So, we'll talk to Matt about that and what's coming up at the theater in the near future. And then Rob Momartz.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Rob Momartz.
Momartz. I said it right.
Yeah.
Momartz. It's Rob Momartz. He is a brilliant illustrator. He will be here at 7:20 tonight. So excited to have Rob in the studio and talk to him about his process and some of the great things he's done. He draws all kinds of stuff, but his illustrations for children's books are just gorgeous. And we'll share some of those with you when he's here. But Rob will be here at 7:20 tonight in studio. I see a Nightlight window fun picture happening with Rob at some point.
Yeah?
Maybe we'll give him a book to read that's not a children's book.
What book?
He can read it through the window. I don't know. Do we have like a... He's a child. We got to keep it clean anyway. I mean, he's a children's book. I can't let my mind go somewhere. Anyway, two great guests tonight. We got a fun question tonight in honor of someone's birthday. A lot of cool things have dropped today. We Will Rock You came out on this day, I think, in 1977. So you might hear a little bit of Queen at some point during the show. It's John Mellencamp's birthday. He's a good one. John Mellencamp is like the forgotten Americana roots rock guy. And I don't mean he hasn't gotten his props in his career, but you always hear about Springsteen, to a lesser degree, Bob Seger, Tom Petty. And John Mellencamp was huge for like two or three decades. But you just haven't heard a lot about him in the last, I would say, 15 years or so. But he turns like 74 today. He's up there with Springsteen in age. And John Mellencamp, going back to when he was John Cougar, just has an outstanding music catalog. So you'll probably hear a little Cougar tonight, or Mellencamp, throughout the show. So we've got lots to talk about. And it is Thursday. I forgot to shower today, Conrad.
How do you feel about that? That's why you smelled?
No, I smell like Sydney Sweeney's bathwater, buddy, and you know it. No, here's what happened. I got up today. I woke up at like 5. I couldn't get back to sleep till like 7, and then I slept till like 10:20, and I had to be a guest on my friend Mike Lucas, who was on this show last week. He has a podcast. He asked me to be on the podcast. I said, of course. So I was on his podcast today at noon. Well, I'm scrambling to get ready for the show. And I thought, I'm not going to shower. I'll just throw some water in my hair. They don't have smell-o-vision over StreamYard. So I figured I was fine, right? So as the day went on, I just realized, like, I felt showered. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't shower. So don't tell Rob when he's here in studio.
What if he's listening right now?
No, just keep it on the QT. Rob seems like a stand-up guy. Like, I'm sure
he showered.
I would imagine Rob seems like a pretty clean-cut guy. I wouldn't make those judgments. I'll let you know when I meet him. But we'll discuss his cleanliness and his the sense he's giving off while he is in the studio. And he can draw his way out of it. He's that good. So I didn't, and it's a weird feeling. Like, do you ever go days where you don't shower when you have to work?
I mean, sometimes you have to. But if I don't shower during the day, I'm showering before I go to bed.
Yeah. I think if you shower before you go to bed, you're better off because you're clean longer. You don't really sweat when you sleep. So your skin is kind of cleansed for a long period of time. When you shower in the morning, I start sweating within like 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I just took a casual walk along the river here and my back is soaking wet. So let's see if we can draw a prettier picture.
You know, I shower pretty much every day after I work out because I don't want anyone to smell me after I work out.
I saw this thing on the Daily Show recently. There's an Asian host who fills in. I don't know his name, but he's very funny. You know that guy?
Uh-uh.
And he talked about, you know, the showering process and how Asian people wash their feet. Like, they lift their foot up, scrub it with soap. And he insinuated that Americans don't do that. That we just let the water run over our feet and we consider that washed.
Do you do that?
No. I wash in between my toes. Like, that's an odor area. That's a main odor area.
Yeah, I do that too, because, I mean, just my feet are not the greatest smelling when I go throughout the day.
Right.
So I make sure they're washed.
Well, I thought it was funny because he didn't even, like, I do remember friends of mine, like, when I was in college saying, no, they don't wash their feet. They do that. So that took me back to that time. But I think it's funny that he knows this about, white Americans. Like, how does he know that? He must have friends that say, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah. He went to the focus group.
I guess. But it is weird. I do feel like it was too late to shower when I realized I hadn't showered when I was on my way to Green Bay. So I could either pull over at a truck stop and take a shower.
There you go.
I'm not going to do that though. You ever showered at a truck stop?
No.
No. It's like,
I'm sure it's kind of like the locker room a little bit.
You think they have their own stalls?
Like, you know, sometimes I don't like the locker room because it just has a small curtain and you can like easily see through it. And it's kind of weird.
Right.
But there's one, there's a Y actually in town that has like full doors.
Oh, okay.
And that's the best thing ever.
It's like a little apartment.
Exactly.
And you can like stretch out, take your time. Yeah. You don't feel like you're being watched. That's how I feel. Cause like when and we've talked about this before, when I was in high school, it was just a big open. It was like the Wild West of showering. And there's like insanity going on. So I would think at a truck stop, you know, those guys are in their trucks all the time. They would want a nice place to shower, I think.
Yeah. You know, when you were in high school and you had those showers, did you have to shower?
Like
would it
gym?
Affect your grade if you didn't?
Oh, you know what? I vaguely kind of remember that, but I don't know that we were forced to shower. I don't think so.
There was one grade where that did happen to me.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Well, how are they grading your shower? Are they inspecting you, or
they're like, if you don't come out of the locker room looking a little wet, they're gonna dock you for the day.
That's kind of weird.
I think that was like seventh or eighth grade. I can't remember, but after that, I've never showered in one of those locker rooms again. Because like you, mine was like that as well.
Yeah.
With a big wide open. Yeah.
I don't, here's a weird thing. I had a friend in Chicago when I lived there years and years ago who went to one of the Catholic high schools. They not only had to shower, they had to line up naked by the pool for like to, this is what he told me. I can't confirm or deny, but he's not the kind of guy that would make that up. And it was sort of like a cleanliness hygiene thing. Isn't it?
That's absurd.
And I'm like, what did your parents think? It's like, oh, they just do what people tell you. That's what their parents are like. And that's kind of what my parents were like. But I think they would have raised an eyebrow at that one.
Yeah, that's...
It was a different time.
It's weird.
It is weird. It's crazy weird. It was a lot of fun. No. It was terrible. So, all right. I think it's time, without further ado, we get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, in honor of Matt Damon's birthday this week, what is your favorite Matt Damon movie? And I'm just looking through this because he has made a ton of movies. He hasn't even been around. I think Good Will Hunting came out in like 97. That put him on the map. So 28 years. He's got like 100 movies. Maybe not 100. What is your favorite Matt Damon movie? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That is the question of the night, folks. Let us know. You can text us on the app or on the stream. If you're watching the radio on Facebook, YouTube, or X Twitter, let us know. We love it when you are part of the show, and we'll read your text on the radio. You know, it's funny. Dave on the stream said Field of Dreams, Good Will Hunting, Saving Private Ryan. I think he was in Field of Dreams. He was like a kid or something, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't know. I'm still thinking about this, to be honest with you. Did you answer the question?
I did.
What was your answer?
Well, first, I really liked the movie Air. About Nike, you know, getting Michael Jordan to sign with them. Which, fantastic
movie.
And then the other one was Downsizing. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I feel like I have, but how old is that movie?
I think it's early 2000s, maybe.
Okay.
But it's about, like, you can make a change to yourself where you're, like, like super small, like the size of, like, a toy, and then you live in this huge, like, this kind of, like, weird paradise where you're that small and everything's cheaper. So they do that.
Oh, that's bizarre.
He's going to do it with his wife. Okay, that's a...
Pause.
Okay. And his wife backs out last second. So he just... He gets shrunk and he's in this paradise kind of just by himself. But it takes a crazy turn and it's a really good movie, actually.
Say the title again.
Downsizing.
Interesting. You know, the obvious choice is the Bourne movies, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to... reserve the right to choose. I'm going to say, and I'll pick between one of these. Rounders, Air. I just lost my... Rounders, Air, and maybe Ford versus Ferrari. That was a great movie. We'll discuss, but let us know what you think, folks. What is your favorite Matt Damon movie? We're talking movies. It's the popcorn pick of the week with our pal Matt Miller coming up at 6:35. And then Rob Momarts at 7:20. Brilliant illustrator. It's Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. That is John Mellencamp with I Need a Lover. He turns 74 today, I think. I thought I'd look this up, but apparently not. And again, like John Mellencamp, one of the greats, you just don't hear his name that much. I know he had some health problems, but he great songs. Pink Houses, Small Town, Minutes to Memories. He's got some amazing tunes. Do we have a phone call, Conrad?
Yes, we do. Terry from Madison.
Terry, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing very well. It's nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
Sure. What's on your mind?
So it's well, it's also Jackson Brown's birthday today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think he's 77.
Wow.
Maybe? Yeah, okay. Not young, but, you know.
He's had a good run.
Music. He's awesome.
I love Jackson. Love what is your favorite Jackson Brown song?
Well, it's kind of obscure. It's called Ready or Not.
I think I know that song.
Yeah, it's about him basically getting his girlfriend pregnant.
Oh, wow. Well, it's interesting. Do you remember the song? I think it was Somebody's Baby that was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh's character got pregnant, but that was a great use of his music. My favorite Jackson Brown tune is Running on Empty, I think. I love that song.
Yeah, I think that song is on that album. So. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and of course, Take It Easy, but you know, that doesn't count because it's such a great song.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. So, thank you for the nudge. Sure. That slipped by me yesterday when I was preparing the show. So thanks for the heads up.
Thanks to Facebook on that one. But anyhow, I think that John Mellencamp has been also taking care of his daughter, who might be very ill.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, when you said that he was sick, it's like, oh, I think it's his daughter, but I could be wrong. I thought I read that though. So anyhow,
well, that could be.
Of course, good friends with Bruce. So
yeah, exactly.
And I know you're a Bruce fan.
Do I say that too much? I am a huge Bruce fan. I think the world of him. So.
Yeah,
well, thank you. Thank you for the call, Terry. Have a great night.
Thank you guys too. Love the show.
And you're very welcome. Thank you. I didn't know that about his daughter, but even with his health problems, I feel like it's been even longer. I don't know. Maybe he just voluntarily dropped out of the spotlight too. Who knows? Thank you for the call, Terry. Khan, do you have a realistic prediction for tonight's game?
Brewers, I'm going to say like 6-2.
If I were to bet, I would never bet against my own team. I'm that idiot in fantasy that drafts players from my own team, so I never have to root against them. I do feel like the Brewers don't want a game 5 at home. That's pressure. Not to say they can't do it, but I do feel like they're going to come out tonight just balls out, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, I think they're going to come out and be ready to play this time. Last night was a little different. I think this time's going to be
We'll see.
Hotter bets.
Although the Cubs probably got a big jolt out of that win to win the way they did. If they did come back and win, that you'd look back at that and go, that was a momentum shift. But I do feel like the Brewers are just, I think they don't want a game 5. I'm just going to have to monitor the game because I'm not going to go watch it with my dad if the Cubs are losing when I get back to town. So. Anyway, well, that'll be interesting to see. Dave on the stream says, Conrad, we don't want to hear your dreams. Speak for yourself, Dave. That's good radio. What was Dave insinuating there, Conrad?
I said his wife didn't, or his wife and him wanted to do it or something like that.
And you
I was talking about the movie.
You dream of Matt Damon and his wife. That's weirder dreams out there, I guess.
I just look up to him.
I think I'm going to go my favorite Matt Damon movie. And the Departed is in there, too. And he was really good in that, and he held his own with really good actors. But I'm going to say Rounders. So I'll go with Rounders. Good movie. Good movie about poker. I love poker. I love John Malkovich. Ed Norton's in it. He does a great job. So there you go. Other social media posts. Just to let you know, folks, we do post our question of the day on Facebook every day. So you can weigh in there. If you can't listen to the show, we'll still read it on the air. Janet on social media says Goodwill Hunting. I assumed we'd get a few Goodwill Hunting votes tonight. So, and that was a great movie. Did you like Goodwill Hunting? Did you see that?
I've actually never seen it.
Okay. I bet you'd really dig it. It's what put he and Ben Affleck on the map. And I didn't love it when it came out, but I do like it. I think it's a nice movie. There were all kinds of rumors that they didn't really write it, that they brought in, what's the script doctor's name? William Goldman, I think, to write a lot of the script, but Affleck and Damon still got credit. I don't know that for a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me because they were two young guys, and I think the studio saw an opportunity there to promote these two guys because they were good actors, they had great presence on camera, and they had a nice story. So whether or not it was tweaked by a script doctor, I don't know, but it's a good movie. I like it. I think it holds up. Lori from, is this for us, Con? I don't think Lori's text is for us, is it?
No.
No. Okay. Edward says, he's in the 414. He says, the talented Mr. Ripley. Yeah, that was a good one. With Jude Law, plays a real psycho douchebag. We could say douchebag, right? That's just good, clean American verbiage. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Matt Damon movie was Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, and then you got that movie, too. He's got a ton of credits. That's incredible. All right, we'll read more of your texts as the show goes on. What is your favorite Matt Damon movie? It's Matt's birthday this week, and that's a good question. He's done enough movies where we can, even the casual fan probably knows a couple. When we come back, folks, we're making the popcorn pick of the week with our pal, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller, and all kinds of fun here. Be part of the show. Phone lines are open. Let's do this. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Israel's military will withdraw to an agreed-upon point by early Saturday Gaza time, with the Hamas hostages to be released within 3 days. President Trump is optimistic.
We ended the war in Gaza and really, on a much bigger basis, created peace. And I think it's going to be a lasting peace, hopefully an everlasting peace. Peace in the Middle East.
Some air traffic controllers working without pay in the government shutdown are calling in sick. That's caused delays, and Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy doesn't like it.
We need the best and the brightest, the dedicated controllers. And if we have some on our staff that aren't dedicated like we need, we're going to let them go.
A federal judge in Illinois has blocked for 14 days a deployment of National Guard troops in the Chicago area. Illinois Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker.
We expect the president to follow the law. Do I also expect that they will push the law to its absolute limit, maybe even stepping over the line? Yes, and we will push back.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Crew lose again to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the NLDS. There will be a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Brewers shut out by the Cubs, 6-0 at Wrigley Field. Freddy Peralta surrendered a 3-run home run in the bottom of the first to Chicago's Ian Happ. Pat Murphy.
The first inning is always the toughest for a pitcher, especially in environments like this and big games. The first inning can always be the struggle, and hadn't shown him the heater yet and got too much in the middle of the plate.
First pitch at 7:08 tomorrow night at AmFam Field. College football, the Badgers host the Hawkeyes tomorrow night in Madison, kickoff 6 p.m. Wisconsin lost 42-10 last year at Iowa.
The focus is, you know, obviously what happened last year and what it is that we need to do to change all that happened last year. It'll be a physical, tough, hard-nosed game. Nothing different than what you would expect from an Iowa-Wisconsin football game. We got to make sure that Saturday night we're ready to roll.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's called show business for a reason, and oftentimes the business part is what drives creative or really talented people away, such is the case with actor Chauncey Leopardi, best known for his role as Squints in The Sandlot. The actor recently sat down with People.com and said that as an actor, it was the constant auditions and the grind that made him step back from the biz. These days, Leopardi is busy raising his 5 children and running a cannabis business, saying it was a pretty smooth transition as he always had a life outside Hollywood. He also added that he really enjoyed his life as an actor. His credits also include Freaks and Geeks and Father of the Bride. Here's another really cool thing that came out of the interview. Squints says he still keeps in touch with Smalls, Benny the Jet, and Ham. He says they have multiple group chats and not only text quite often, but actually see each other at sports signings and events. Great story. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, another beautiful fall day with a high in the low to mid 60s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear, we'll drop into the upper 30s to near 40. Then tomorrow, more of the same, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger public address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Wrong day.
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Jennifer Sullivan of the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We break down what's going on with MAGA's refusal to talk about making healthcare affordable for Americans under the ACA.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back to Nightlight, folks. It is the Christmas Eve of weeknights. It is Thursday, folks. You are in the home stretch to the weekend, and what better way to do that than with the popcorn pick of the week? We do have, can we take a quick call, Conrad? Who do we have?
Yeah, Richard from Waukesha.
All right, let's take a quick phone call here before we get to our guest, Matt Miller. Richard, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I come across an interesting movie I'd like to put out. I don't know if you ever heard of it or saw it, called Music Within. Hmm. It's about maybe 2006 maybe.
Okay.
It's on a true story of a Vietnam vet. And what's really great about it is you can laugh and cry through this movie. He gets disabled. And during the Dukakis Senior Bush election, he gets out to the media that whoever decides to do start something to help the veterans get jobs will win the election. And guess who takes him up on it?
Dukakis?
No.
Bush?
George Bush. He got the votes.
Nice. I do kind of remember this movie. It's Ron Livingston in the lead, but I've never seen it. But you recommend it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can tell it's the fact it's a true story. It's full of laughs and tears.
Okay.
But it's, you know, I don't think they had a high budget, but it's done pretty well. It's got all of the 70s best music playing through it.
Okay. Oh, I love that.
And there's a lot of funny parts in it.
So that's Richard's popcorn pick of the week. And if you're interested, folks, you could check that out on Tubi. It says it's free on Tubi. Well, everything's free on Tubi, but that's a great choice. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the recommendation.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Richard. Thank you very much. All right, look at that, Conrad. You get two popcorn picks this week. One from one of our regular listeners, love Richard. And now we are going to bring in one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight. He is a film critic based in Milwaukee, and lots of fun to talk to here on Nightlight from time to time. And he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Matt Miller. Hey, buddy.
I'm honored. Thanks for having me.
All right, likewise. I'm trying to set this up for a while. When I realized you hadn't done this yet, it's always nice to get a critic's perspective, you know, or a recommendation for that matter. So I'm thrilled you're here. Do you have a favorite Matt Damon movie, Matt?
A favorite Matt Damon movie.
We're celebrating his birthday a little bit tonight, so that's our question of the night.
I do really enjoy the Bourne movies, or at least the original three. The latter ones are not very good. I always enjoy an Ocean's 11. That's just great watching right there. The Martian is very enjoyable. Well, I don't know if his highs are very high. You know,
yeah.
I think he's a good actor. But I don't often think about, like, great Matt Damon performances off the top of my head. He's always just steady, two hands on the wheel. And there is value in that. There is value in just a well-made cheeseburger, you know?
Absolutely. And that's a great comp because he was in, you know, I would say my favorite was maybe Rounders. Obviously, the Bourne movies are great. But I liked Rounders. I liked Air. I liked Ford versus Ferrari. But in The Departed, he held his own with some pretty good actors. So I had trouble choosing, actually, because I agree with you. I don't think he's in the upper echelon, but he's on the upper end of serviceable, if you will.
100%. He's a good movie star, and I think you know, he's very good in Oppenheimer. I'm going through his his list of credits now.
Forgot and about
you know, he's very good under, I mean, everyone's really good in Oppenheimer, but he's rather good. He's also, I think he's an actor who's really well weaponized. And what I mean by that is, like, he's really good in Interstellar, because you look at Matt Damon and he's supposed to be all-American hero guy. And then the movie weaponizes that and is just like, no, this is a broken guy who thought he was going to be the hero and wasn't, and is now willing to, like, end the human race to prove that he's a good guy. And, like, it is interesting how movies utilize him. I think Christopher Nolan really knows how to use Matt Damon really well. Yeah. And I think those are the kind of performances that are best, when a director really is like, I know how to utilize you in a way that will be, that takes your movie star persona and weaponizes it in a way for the audience.
That's a great answer. And he's made some good films. There's no question about it. So, but let's turn our attention to, I'm very anxious to talk to you about your approach, Matt, regarding the popcorn pick. How do you like to watch movies? Like, as a critic, do you prefer a theater that's filled with people, or do you like to watch in the comfort of your own home and block everything out? What's your process?
In a theater, 100% all day, every day. I will take a theater 100% of the time. I will take a theater empty. I will take a theater full. I will take a theater filled with people on their cell phones. I will take a movie in a theater with a bunch of movie talkers. I will take all of that over streaming something at home, all alone on my couch, being easily distracted and just not being immersed in the movie. You know, I think the theatrical experience is the best way to watch a movie. And I, you know, are there issues with it? Absolutely. But I just think there's no better way to submit yourself to a story, to submit to yourself to an experience like a movie theater.
I agree. Let's talk about that though. You're at the movie. You're trying to watch it. You're going to write a review. Maybe you're just there for fun. And there's a bunch of kids talking, or some couple, or some older people that won't sit. And the older people, God bless them. You know, they talk loud. They lean over.
Older
they try
people
to whisper.
Are worse than young people.
Right. So what do you do?
100%. Because A, older people talk loudly.
Yes.
And B, young people don't like being called out and, like, will be quiet if you shush them. Older audiences are offended that you made issue with them talking loudly.
I've done that too, and they feel like they give you a look like they're in you're in their living room or something. It's like, no, we paid money to see this movie, you know, and it's
I don't know why you paid money to talk through a movie, but again, better experience than at home.
Okay, very good. And what kind of movies? What are your favorite movies to watch, Matt? Like, do you have a genre you prefer when you're not reviewing something?
My smarmy answer is good movies. I don't really have a favorite genre. Will watch a musical. I will watch a weird indie movie. I will watch a horror movie. I'll watch an animated kids movie. If a movie's good, I want to see it. I want to experience it. I'll watch an old movie. I'll watch a silent movie. I'll watch a weird. The only one I won't watch is an AI movie. Get that crap out of my face.
You know, I almost asked you about that because there was an article last week, you know, Tilly Norwood, this whole thing with, you know, her creator saying she might sign with an agent. She's got her own Instagram account. I don't know if you're familiar with the Tilly Norwood stuff, but
she doesn't have her own Instagram account. That's like saying Wendy's has an Instagram account.
Correct.
Wendy's is not a person. Wendy's is a brand.
Right.
Tilly Norwood is not a person. She is a computer program.
Why can't they categorize AI as animation? That's basically what it is, right? I mean, it's like Pixar.
It's animation without even the art of animation. I mean, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad, but that's an insult to animators. Animators work hard. This is a computer plagiarizing a bunch of stuff and creating a fake person, and it stinks. And I think you can tell that this is not something, like, they keep saying, like, oh, audience, like, this is here to stay. No, it's not. You said the same thing about the stupid monkey images 3 years ago. And now I don't even know what they're called anymore. These aren't things being decided by audiences. Audiences don't want to see AI. When you hear about AI, we call it out of the room. You know, this is stuff planted by the industry, planted by, you know, these up and coming AI groups. That's why you're reading about this stuff in, you know, Variety. You're not reading about it from fans of Tilly Norwood on your computer. You're not reading tweets and Facebook posts being like, Tilly Norwood's really impressive. No, it's just all industry people trying to be like, no, this is the next big thing. You 100% want to be on this. It's 3D TVs, but worse.
You know, as I'm talking to you, and my guest is Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic. He's here to make the popcorn pick of the week tonight. Then we're going to tell you about what you can see in the theaters and what's coming up. I don't think you can replace actors with AI. You know, another profession I don't think they can replace, Matt, are movie reviewers with AI. Honestly, how could they could give very broad strokes, but no nuts and bolts or nuance, right?
I mean, they've certainly tried. There's not many paid film critics around the country much anymore. Okay. And even the places that there are critics, they're not around. But people, what's the first thing you do when you get out of a movie generally? You talk to somebody about it. You text a buddy who's seen the movie, or you talk with the person you went to go see it with. You don't just sit with the movie and you know, digest it and never think about it again. I mean, if you do, it must not have been a great movie. Right. You know, you want people to talk with you about the thing that you saw. And that's what movie critics do. They are having the conversation. They're not ending the conversation. If anything, hopefully they're starting a conversation. They're participating in the conversation. I think there's this idea of that critics think of themselves as high and mighty. And for sure, there are some out there that do feel that way about themselves. But most critics are just people who want to talk to you about the movie they saw.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a great answer. When did you become fascinated with movies or think that I want to review movies? I want to do this for a living. I want to watch movies. Like, when did they captivate you?
Yeah, so it's hard to pinpoint it. Honestly, when I was a young kid, I hated movies.
Really?
My parents had to like take me out of the theaters because I was so easily scared. Jumanji gave me nightmares. The THX sound in the beginning of Empire Strikes Back gave me nightmares. The Disney animated short film Runaway Brain gave me nightmares. Everything gave me nightmares as a kid. And then I think around when I was like first or second grade, honestly, I started, you know, reading my dad's Entertainment Weekly, and I started reading my parents' Weekend Q section, and I just got really interested in movies, and I saw stuff like The Truman Show really opened things up for me. Really great movie, tremendous movie, Peter Weir, Jim Carrey movie. And I just, you know, I kept reading these reviews and I watched some Ebert and Roper and Siskel and Ebert, and I was like, I'm fascinated by these people talking about these movies and thinking about how they're made. And I literally would bring the Weekend Q from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel into my like third grade classroom every Friday, and would like, they'd let me like do a little presentation on like the movies that came out that weekend. And I was a very cool kid.
What's your favorite movie snack, Matt, in the theater and then at home? Let's break it down there.
If I'm watching a movie at home, I'm generally not eating. I might be having like a bowl of ice cream or something at home, but I don't really have a go-to. And honestly, I don't really have a go-to at the movie theater either. I kind of go through ebbs and flows. I'm getting back into popcorn after working at a movie theater for 10 years in my high school and college days. You really sensory, it gets into your DNA and into your bloodstream. And now finally, probably about 20 years later, I'm finally getting used to eating popcorn again and enjoying that. But I'll do a bunch of crunch. I'll do a chill Junior Mint if I'm feeling frisky. Yeah. You know, an occasional gummy snack is always good. A Jolly Rancher gummies. Honestly, I just like candy and I just like movies. So that's all I need.
That's great. Do you have a movie cocktail that you like at home, or have you ever snuck booze into the theater?
I have never snuck booze into a theater, mainly because I'm not savvy enough how to do it. I'm not good at sneaking into movies or anything. Like, I was never good at sneaking into movies, wasn't good at sneaking candy into movies, certainly wasn't going to be good at sneaking alcohol into movies.
So you are a good citizen.
Mainly out of ineptitude, you know. If I'm going to, I'm probably having a beer, you know.
I'm probably enjoying
a refreshing beer while watching a movie.
We're going to do a very quick break, and then when we come back, our guest, Matt Miller, Milwaukee film critic, is going to give us his popcorn pick of the week. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Aho, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight. Andy on the stream says, enjoyed Dead of Winter with Emma Thompson. Is that a Matt Damon movie?
It is not. But, you know what? Maybe it is. Matt Damon has a habit of just showing up in movies whenever.
I know. One of our stream texters, Dave, said he was in Field of Dreams. And I forgot about that. He was like an extra or something like that.
I mean, even nowadays, like, he'll pop up in a Thor movie. He'll pop up in a Soderbergh movie. Just, like, randomly unbilled. Like, if you remember the movie Unsane with Claire Foy from like 10 years ago, he like randomly shows up in that one just as like a tech guy. Matt Damon will just do a movie.
He's like Woody Harrelson. I think people just like him. You know, he seems like a decent guy, easy to have around, good sense of humor. That must be, there must be something to that. All right, Matt, last question for you before we get your pick. I think I know what you're going to say about this. How do you feel about previews?
I like previews.
I knew it.
I like trailers. I feel like they set the mood for me seeing a movie. I like seeing a preview that gets me excited. I am a little bummed out. I missed the days of the debut trailer in theaters when like you'd be watching a trailer and you're like, oh, I haven't seen this before. What is this? Like, I wish I missed that mystery, you know? But I love previews. I don't love the commercials that are
me either.
And I think honestly, I think that's what people dislike. They dislike the 5 AMC, you know, the Nicole Kidman and the dancing people and the Coca-Cola ad. And like, you know, that's the stuff people don't like. I think most people are totally fine with trailers. They like trailers. They like little mini movies.
I remember I was at a different radio station and I interviewed you. And I remember saying how much I like streaming because you could just click when the second the episode was over, you could click something and it takes you right to the next episode. I don't know if you remember this. You said, I like the credits. I like the opening. Like, you like the whole experience. And I think that's just a testament to, you know, how thorough you are as a critic and you like the whole experience. So I thought you'd like previews.
I do think there is something. One of the worst things streaming has done is they've gotten rid of the end credits in a lot of ways. I mean, as soon as you watch a movie, the credits get shunted to the left-hand corner of the screen and they want to shove another movie in your face. And it's like, no, A, you know, those credits serve a purpose. It's to, you know, show credit to where credit is due for making the movie. But also, that is, I like to process the movie. I like to sit there and think about what I've just seen, you know? I'm not saying you have to sit all the way through to the, you know, final company logos, but there is something about just like sitting there and letting a movie marinate and letting yourself think about it instead of just being like, next content, please.
That's great. All right. I think it is time, Conrad, if you please, to get Mr. Miller's Popcorn Pick of the Week. Matt Miller, what is your Popcorn Pick of the Week?
It is called Good Boy. It is called Good Boy. It is in theaters right now.
Oh.
It is an indie horror movie. And this time of year, it's really hard to find horror movies to recommend to dog lovers. Because if there's one thing horror movies are famous for, it's killing off dogs in the name of heightening the tension of a movie. There's so many times I've seen a really great horror movie and I can't recommend it to like my sister or other people because it's like they're dog lovers. Good Boy is the perfect movie for the dog lover in your life because it is a horror movie told from the perspective of a dog.
I love
it. It is a haunted house movie about a man and his loyal dog. Played by a real dog, incredibly. It is an incredible, one of the five best performances I've maybe seen this year by this dog.
Huh.
And they go out to this cabin in the woods because he's dealing with some issues. And the cabin has some weird stuff going on in it. And the dog is the person that whose perspective you're seeing the movie through. You are seeing everything through this dog kind of investigating this house and worried about its owner. And it's such a clever gimmick. And it's And the thing, it goes beyond being a gimmick. By the end, it really becomes emotional, becomes a movie about dogs' loyalty and their love for the people in their lives. And it becomes really touching in a way, while also being genuinely really freaky. It's a low-budget movie. It was made for probably, you know, less than the catering on Oppenheimer. But it is a really well-done horror movie. It hit me in the feels and in the frights.
Really?
I really recommend people checking that out if they're looking for a dog-friendly scare this Halloween season. Good Boy.
That's great. And I remember reading about this, and when I do my thing about what's opening, I forgot I had even included this. It really good reviews, rated PG-13, and not a long movie either. It's like a little over an hour.
One of the best things about it is a tight 75 minutes. It knows how to get in and get out, which is something a lot of movies just in general these days don't know how to do. And I there's been a lot of these kind of buzzy gimmick-based horror movies in recent. There was the Late Night with the Devil last year, there was In a Violent Nature, and they've all kind of been underwhelming because they don't stick with the gimmick, or the gimmick kind of, they run out of steam with it, or it kind of over promises and under delivers. And I think Good Boy is one where they really think about the gimmick, think about using it in interesting ways, and think about using it into telling an emotional, genuine story. It's not just a clever new take on a horror movie. It ties in with the story it's trying to tell. I think I had a really good time with it. I think it's very much worth your while. That's a good, perfect pick for the Halloween season. Good Boy in theaters now.
That's an outstanding pick. And I'm just added it to my list. I think this weekend I'm going to try to see like three movies. I know I want to see Roof Man, and I want to see Good Boy. And then The Long Walk my son loved. When we come back, Matt has agreed to stick around through the news and join us for a few minutes anyway into Act 2. Rob Momartz will be here at 7:20. But I want to ask Matt about One battle after another. Very excited to talk about that movie with you, Matt. And then I want to ask you about The Smashing Machine, too, because things are all over with that. It didn't do well at the box office. It was kind of a critic's darling at Cannes, it seems like, and The Rock got a big standing ovation. We'll talk to Matt about that. We'll talk to him about One Battle After Another, and he's going to tell us what else is coming up like only Matt can do. It's great to have you here, buddy, and we are coming right back after intermission. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump has high hopes the two-year Gaza war is coming to a close.
People want to see this work. It's going to work. It's absolutely going to work.
Israel's government formally approved an agreement with Hamas this morning on Mr. Trump's peace plan. The ceasefire is expected to begin immediately with an exchange of all Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners starting Monday. The U.S. military will play a part. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
The U.S. military is going to play a role in stabilizing Gaza and implementing the ceasefire. About 200 U.S. service members are going to work out of a new coordination center that will be set up inside Israel. They'll be there to monitor the ceasefire and to facilitate the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza.
President Trump plans to visit the Middle East Sunday, and he has had his eyes on the Nobel Prize for his efforts